Today's shir is Masechtam Ila Daf Chaf Aleph, and we will begin on Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, in the second line of the Amid at the Mishnah that Ha'amalei. So our Mishnah continues to teach us the halachas of Mila, and the halacha that the Mishnah is focused on is the halacha that we've learned over the last couple of shiurim, that the halacha by Mila, unlike in other areas of the Torah, usually the halacha is ein shliach l'dvar aveira, that somebody who asks a shliach to do an aveira, it is the shliach who's considered that he committed the aveira. By mi'ila, the mishaleach is the one who's considered to have done the aveira. But also, as we have learned, that halacha only applies if the shliach followed the instructions. If they did not follow the instructions, then we don't say, then he's not considered a shliach l'dvar aveira. So it says the Mishnah, Amaloi, Havalei min achaloi ure de luskema. The Mishaleach told the shliach, bring money either from the window or from a wallet, the heviloi, and he brought it. Av bisham balabayis, even though afterwards the balabayis says, loi hoye belibi elamazeh, that was not my intention. My intention, different pshatim in the Rishonim, how to understand what he means to say. He says, I might have said the window, but I really meant the wallet. I might have said the wallet, but I really meant the window. That's one pshat that I saw. Or there was more than one wallet on the window. There was more than one pile of money on the window. And he said, I meant a different pile of money. And all of these situations, since he did follow the instructions, that was not my intention, but he followed the direct instructions that the Baal Bayis gave him. In all these cases, the Baal Bayis is mal, it's considered the Baal Bayis did me'ila. And as the Rishonim point out, we're going to learn in the Gemara that the Mishnah is teaching us here that Dvarim Shebelev Einim Dvarim, and even though he says I meant something else, it doesn't count. The halacha is we follow that, or we don't care what he thought. So what? And that's a halacha that we know throughout Shas. Why did the Mishnah have to teach us here different? So I saw two pshatim. One pshat that I saw is because since Ni'ila is an aveira ben Adam l'makom, so since it's an aveira made Adam l'makom, we would think that there we do follow Dvarim Shebelev. Teaches us the Mishnah that even here we don't follow Dvarim Shebelev. Furthermore, the Mefarshim suggest, as we've been learning, and we even said it in our introductory remarks today, Mi'ila is a very unique aveira. The rule that we have throughout Halacha of Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira, we don't say by Mila. So maybe we should also not say Dvarim Shebelev Einim Dvarim. That's why our Mishnah has to teach us that we still apply here, as we do everywhere else, Dvarim Shebelev Einim Dvarim. Avlam Amaloi, if he was told, Haveli Min Chaloin, bring money from the window, Vehevelei Min Adluskman, he brought from the wallet. Oy Min Adluskman, he was told to bring from the wallet, Vehevelei Min Chaloin, and he brought from the window. In these cases, since he hasn't followed the instructions, then the shliach is mal. So here Torah Mefarshim ask, we've learned in our previous shurim already that if the shliach doesn't follow the instructions, then it is the shliach who does the mila. And here clearly he didn't follow the instruction. So why do we need to teach us this halacha? So one pshat I saw that in the previous shir, why was the case that he didn't follow instructions? He was told to bring one item and he brought another item. But here, he's bringing the item that he was told to bring. He's just bringing it from a different place. I would think that that's not considered a change of instructions. That's why the Mishnah has to teach us that it is still considered that he's not following instructions, and that's why it is the shliach who did the mila. Another pshat that I saw is that the Mishnah is teaching us that even if the Baal Bayis will afterwards say that the money that the shliach actually brought is the money that I meant, so we would think that then the dvarim shebelev should help, that it should be the balabayus of the mila and not the shliach, teaches us the Mishnah that even in such a situation, if in any situation where the shliach doesn't follow the instructions, the halacha is that is the shliach who does the mila and not the balabayus. Continues the Mishnah. If the shliach that the balabayus used was a chereshayt v'katan, so yad chereshayt v'katan, if he sent it in the hands of these people who in halacha we always know are not considered people with intelligence, im asu shlichusoy, if they follow the instructions, balabayus mal, then it's the balabayus who did the mila, even though they're not considered typically competent shlichim. Lo asu shlichusoy, but if they didn't follow the instructions they were given, then the chenvoni mal. The balabayus is not the one that did the mila because he didn't actually transfer the item out of the rishus hegdish into the rishus of the chenvin. The shliach cannot be considered being the moil because the shliach has no das. So in this case, says the Mishnah, it was the chenvini. When he will actually use the money, he will be the one that is considered having done mila. Continues the Mishnah. Shalach b'yad b'keach. If the shliach was a regular person of intelligence, but the Baal Bayis recognizes, oi, I by mistake gave this shliach hegdish money. So by realizing that he gave the shliach hegdish money, now the Baal Bayis cannot be considered the moil. And the Mefarshim give two explanations as to why not. One explanation is that since he knows that it's hegdish money, the halacha is, as we've been learning, milas only when it was done b'shaygik. This can no longer be considered a situation of shaygik because he knows that it's hegdish money. So therefore, we can never have here that the balabayis is the moil, because whenever when the person is aware of what he's doing, then it cannot be considered mi'ila. Another pshat that the Rishonim give is that the moment the balabayis recognizes that this money that he gave the shliach is hegdish money, he immediately is mevatel the shlichus. He immediately nullifies the shlichus because his intention was that it should only be a meal. His intention, he doesn't want to be in a situation that he's over mi'ila. So if Nisker actually gieh for chemini, he recognizes before got to the chemini that this was hegdish money. When the chemini actually uses the money, that's when mila will have been transgressed. The Gemara, of course, will ask, why is that the case? Why isn't it considered that the shliach does mila? So keitz yasa. But this person doesn't really want that he should have done mila. So what he should do is, he wants to avoid mila. Not to pruta a kli. He should take a pruta or a keli. Volume, he should say, the money of hegdish that the shliach is carrying should be mechulazeh, should be redeemed with this money or item that I am now taking. Because we know what halacha is, says the Mishnah. The halacha is that hegdish can be redeemed b'kesef v'shav kesef. So by doing this, he will have solved that it should not be, he will make that there should not be any me'ila here, because the item is no longer hegdish. Ask the Gemara. Back to the first case of the Mishnah. The first case of the Mishnah that we discussed was a situation where the person said, the Baal Bayis says, I never meant that he should take that money. The Mishnah is teaching us the dvarim shebelev einam dvarim. Just saying that's what I thought doesn't make a difference in halacha, because dvarim shebelev einam dvarim. And as the Mefarshim teach us, what is Dvarim Shebelev Einam Dvarim? So I saw a beautiful vart. It says in Pirkei Avos, the Tana says in the Mishnah that Hizdaka B'Shloshet Dvarim Ve'Ein Atabah V'Dei Aveira. And the Tana says the Mifnei Mi Ata Osa Litein Din V'Cheshbin. So I saw that the Sefer Chasdei Avos says two beautiful pshatim. One pshat is that a person thinks that Malachim, we know, don't know what a person is thinking. And therefore, Malachim, a person thinks if I have machshavas that are inappropriate, I need not worry, because the Malachim don't know my machshavas. And that says the Tana, the stock of Dalif Nehemiah to also lead in Din V'Cheshbin. Maybe Malachim don't know what we're thinking, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu certainly does know what we're thinking, and therefore we need be concerned that our machshavas are not valid. Another pshat that I saw, he says, is that a person thinks to himself, as Al Gemara just said, Dvarim Shebelev, Edom Dvarim. And therefore, I need not be worried about bad machshavas. But there's a flip side to it. Most of the Torah that we learn is also Dvarim Shebelev. We just think about Torah or listen to a shir. So if we're going to take that approach, the Dvarim Shebelev ain't a Dvarim, then the Torah that we learn, we won't get schar for either. And therefore, Da'alef Ne'miyata Osa Litin Din V'Cheshbin. You go on to give a Din V'Cheshbin, and you go on to get credit for all the Torah you learned. So you have to make sure that Dvarim Shebelev are considered Dvarim. On the other hand, I did see a very interesting psak from Rabbi Yosef Engel, who he indicates that we know that if one of the most serious sins is if somebody embarrasses somebody else. So let's say somebody embarrassed Chas V'Shalom someone else, and he then goes and asks Mechila. So the Rabbi Yosef Engel says, and the person is Michael him. And afterwards, after the person was Michael him, says, I really didn't mean to be Michael you. I was only Michael you because I had no choice. So he says, again, Dvarim Shebelev, Einam Dvarim, and if he was Michael him, saying afterwards that he didn't really mean it, wouldn't make a difference in Halacha, because Dvarim Shebelev, Einam Dvarim. So we learned in the Mishnah further, that Shilach B'yad Chereshayt V'Katan, if he sent it B'yad Chereshayt V'Katan, Im Asu, if they fulfill his Shlichus, then the halacha is that he was a moil. Ask the Gemara, however, how could they be considered shlichim? They have no das, they have no intelligence. Answers the Gemara, Amr Rav Elazar, Oson Kamaton Shalzaisim. The halacha we know is, we've learned many times, that food is not susceptible to tumah unless the food became wet first. And as we have also learned, getting wet doesn't necessarily mean that you made the food wet. If the food got wet to your satisfaction, that is considered also that the food got wet and it's now susceptible to tumah. So the Mishnah teaches us in Masechta Taharis that what would be the halacha if someone is carrying olives in a basket. And they actually would transport the olives in two baskets. First, they would transport them in a wicker basket. And then from the wicker basket, they were put into a vat where they actually, the oil came out. And the halacha is that while the oil is in the wicker basket and the olives are in the wicker basket, and oil oozes out, that oil is not going to be considered liquid that will make the olive susceptible to tumah. The oil, however, which oozes out in the vat is considered oil that would make the food susceptible to tumah. The difference is, because the oil that comes out in the wicker basket is oil that's going to go to waste. It's going to drip out of the holes of the wicker basket. And since that oil is going to go to waste, he's not satisfied with it. Whereas the oil in the vat is going to remain in the vat, and he's satisfied with that oil. So we see from here that even though he didn't do anything, the oil came out by itself, that halacha still considers the oil as if it came out through his shlichus. Similarly, in this case, even though he sent the money of Hegdish with a cher shirt of a cotton, but they have fulfilled his instructions, it's considered as if he was the one that took it. So again, Amar Rav Elazar, when somebody sent this item of Hegdish in the hands of a cher shirt of a cotton, Osan Kamaton Shalzaisim, the halacha treats it like the olives that are being transported. The Tanan, as we learned in the Mishnah Masechta Taharos, Hazaisim Emesem Kamal Tumah, from when do olives become susceptible to Tumah? Mishiyazu, from when they ooze out oil. However, Zayis Hamatan, only the oil that comes out in the vat, V'loi Zayis HaKupa, not that comes out in the wicker basket. So even though he didn't do anything, but if what he wanted done is happens, that's considered that as if his act. Similar will be in the case of our Mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, and the way the Mefarshim explained, Rabbi Yochanan is not really saying a different answer. Rabbi Yochanan is just giving a different example to the exact same concept. And that is, we know, we learned, the Gemara teaches us in Masechta Erevin, that in Shabbos everybody has a tchum. The tchum is 2,000 amos from the city in which you are in. And we know, let's say you want to travel 4,000 amos in one direction. So what you could do is put up an Eruvei Techumen. And what Eruvei Techumen means is that you put an Erev food 2,000 amos in the direction, from the city, in the direction that you want to travel. And then it's considered that that is your Mokum Shvisa. That's considered where you were for Shabbos. And you could carry, you could walk 2,000 amos further from that Erev Tchumim. Of course, it leaves you with nothing in the other direction. So the Mishnah teaches us in Masechta Erevin, Nosnoi al gaba koifa hilichoi, if you put the Erev on a monkey and the monkey carries the Erev, or al gaba hapilva hilichoi, or you put it on top of an elephant and the elephant carries the Erev, hareza of Erev. It's considered a valid Erev. Of course, the Rishonim point out that you have to watch and make sure that they indeed put the Erev where they were supposed to, because you can't rely that they did what they were supposed to do, given that they're animals. What do we see? Almak of the Shlichusoi. Even though they, of course, are not Balei Das, they're animals, they're still considered that the Erev is a kosher Erev, as long as what you wanted done got done. Hachinami. So too in the case of Me'ila, of the Shlichusayu, what you wanted to get done, got done by the Erev, by the Shliach, albeit being a Cher Shait V'Katan, doing what you wanted him to do, and that's why it's considered that he's your Shliach, and if he followed your instructions, you will be over Me'ila. The next case of the Mishnah was Shalch B'Yad Pikeach, that if you sent it with an intelligent person, the halacha is that when the chenveni gets it, he will have done me'ila, which seems to mean v'afagav t'layit kishliach, which means that the case of the Mishnah was that the Baal Bayis realized what he sent was hegdish, but the shliach did not, and it seems that the Mishnah says that the shliach is still not going to be over me'ila, only the chenvani. But ask the Gemara why. For many, haven't we learned in a brisa, niska Baal Bayis, v'lo niska shliach, if the Baal Bayis recognized what he sent was hegdish and the shliach did not, hashliach mol, then it's the shliach who did the mila. And even though the shliach, since the Baal Bayis knows, so he is not being the one that's over Mila, so that's why the Shliach does the Mila. And even though, as Rav Chaim Brisker points out, it was not the intention of the Shliach to do Mila, it makes no difference. Anybody who's the one that caused that something that's Hegdish should be taken out of the Rishus Hegdish is the one that did Mila. So why is our Mishnah say that it's the Tchenveni that did Mila, it should be the Shliach who should be the one that did the Mila? Answers the Gemara. Amra Sheshes, Masnitsin Kishnis Kushneim. Amishna refers to a situation where both the Balabayas and the Shliach recognize that this is Hegdish, and that's why they are not the ones that did Mila, it's only the Chenveni. And as the Rishonim and Achronim point out, even though the Mishnah uses the word Viniskar, which is a Lashon Yochid, which seems to indicate that there's only one person that recognizes, the Mishnah is focusing on the Shliach. Then the Mishnah is seeing that not only did the Balabayas recognize that it was Hegdish, even the Shliach recognized that it was Hegdish, and that's why here the Chenveni was the one that will have done Mila. Says the Mishnah, Nosloi Pruta. If the Mishaleach gave the Shliach a Pruta, Vamaloi, he tells him, Haveli Bechetzi Neres Bechetzi Psilis. Half the Pruta should be used to buy a lamp, and half should be used to buy wicks. And he used the entire Pruta to buy wicks. Or he used the entire Pruta to buy Neres. Oi, Shamalei Havi Bekele Neres of a Kulab Psilis. He told him, use the entire money to buy lamps for Pruta or wicks for Pruta. The Halach and the Shliach didn't follow the instructions. The Hevi Bechetzi Neres Bechetzi Psilis. He bought with half the money lamps and with half the money wicks. So the Halach is Shneim Leimalu. Both of them have not committed Mila. Why? Because for half a Pruta, his instructions have been followed. And for half a Pruta, his instructions have not been followed. And since, as we've been learning, to be over Mi'ila, you have to have Mi'ila of a Pruta, so therefore, neither of them has done Mi'ila. Avul, Imamalon, if he was given instructions, Haveli Chet Yeneres from Makam Ploni, Vechetzi Psilis from Makam Ploni, buy with half a Pruta lamps from one place, and with the other half proved to buy wicks from another place, for Halach for Hevelay Neres and Makam Psilis and Psilis for Makam Neres, he got confused and he brought it from the wrong place. So, as the Rishonim point out, he hasn't followed the instructions, and as we keep on repeating, if the Shliach doesn't follow the instructions, then a Shliach Mo, it's considered that the Shliach did Me'ila. Another Halacha, Nosmo Shtei Prutus, if the Balabais gave the Shliach two Prutas, Vamli, Lech Vaveli Esrig, use this money to buy me an Esrig. Vahalach Vahaviloi Ba'achas Esrig, Ba'achas Rimon, he went and he spent one Pruta on an Esrig, and one Pruta on a pomegranate, Shnei Mo, they both did Mila. On the Pruta that the Esrig was bought, the Balabais was Moil, on the Pruta that was used for the Rimon, the Shliach did Mila. Rav Yehuda Omer, Balabayas Leimol. In this situation, it's not considered as if the Balabayas did any sort of Mi'ila. Shu'aymaloi, because the Balabayas could say to the Shliach, Esrig Gabel Hayisim Avakish. I wanted a larger Esrig. I wanted a two-pruta diga Esrig. Vivesli Katan Vara. You brought me a one-pruta Esrig. That isn't the Esrig that I asked for, and therefore it's not considered Mi'ila. It's not considered that I violated Me'ila if you didn't follow my exact instructions. Similar case. Nosloi Dinazov. If the Mishaleach gave the Shliach a Dinazov, and he told him, Vamaloi, Lech Vaveli Chaluk, buy a shirt for me with this dinner. There are six Sloyim in that dinner. He used three to buy a shirt and three to buy a talus, Shnei Malu, because he followed the instructions. The Yudaymer, Balabayas Leimol. The Balabayas did not do Mi'ila. Shu'aymolay, because the Balabayas could say to the Shliach, Chol Godlo Yisra Veikish, I wanted a big shirt, the Vesely Katan Ra, you didn't bring me the quality shirt or the size shirt that I wanted. Actually, we're going to learn the Gemara with the way most Rishonim learn the Gemara, which is not exactly the text that we have in our Gemara. There's a Gemara Masechet Ksubos. The Gemara Masechet Ksubos discusses where somebody sent a shliach to sell property on his behalf, a korah property. And
Instead of selling the entire kor, the shliach only sold a half a kor. So is that considered that the shliach fulfilled the mishaleach's instructions? On one hand, we could certainly say he didn't follow the instructions. He was told to sell a kor, and he sold only a half a kor. On the other hand, the shliach can make an argument that the reason I did it was because I was really doing it on your favor. Because I knew you were selling the property because you were desperate for cash. So you figured there's no way you'll be able to raise the cash by only by selling a kor. I was able to sell a half a kor, and there's two ways the Mefarshim explained. So by me selling a half a kor, you gained that you didn't have to sell a whole kor, or that if you sold it to two separate people, each one a half a kor, maybe you'll be able to buy back one half a kor, you wouldn't be able to buy back the whole kor. Shamatmina. So our Mishnah asked the Gemara, it should be a raya. The man dam l'shluch zavnali kor the ara. Go sell for me a kor of land. V'oz of a zavnali. And he sold instead only a half a kor, a liska. Kani l'keich. It's still considered that the shliach fulfilled his shlichus. Because the Tanakam of our Mishnah is teaching us that if the shliach was told to bring a big shirt, and he brought a cheaper shirt, that it's still considered that he fulfilled the instructions. Says the Gemara, Amri, it's not a raya. Because Hocha Hechidami, what is the case of our Mishnah? Ki going to Eitzel Yishav Yishesh B'Sholosh. Our Mishnah is not referring to a situation where the shliach bought on behalf of the mishaleich a shirt that he won't be satisfied with. He bought him a shirt that he'll be satisfied with. He was able to get a bargain. He told him, buy a shirt for 6 sloim, and he was able to find a 6 sloim shirt for 3 sloim. Ask the Gemara, if that's the case, Eimer Sefer, let's continue learning the Mishnah. We learned in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, Baal Bayis Lemor. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the Baal Bayis didn't do Meila. Shu Yachal Eimer, because he could always say, Chol Gol HaYisim Avakish, but basically, Chol Kotten Vara. You didn't bring me the shirt that I wanted. But the way we're explaining the Gemara now, he actually did bring him the shirt that he wanted. Answers the Gemara, no. Domalei. Because the Baal Bayis could tell the Shliach in our Mishnah, Idiavs dinner kule, had you spent the entire dinner, all 6 sloim, isolate Shavashne dinner. The more you would have spent, the better bargain you would have gotten. And therefore, if here you were able to get a bargain, that you were able to get for 3 sloim, a 6 sloim shirt, so for 6 sloim, you would have gotten even more. And that's why I'm upset. And that's why I'm considering it that you didn't fulfill my instructions. And says Mahachanan Stabra, that's the way to understand the Mishnah. The Tani, the Brisa, expounds on Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. And the Brisa says, Moed Rabbi Yehuda v'kitnius, Rabbi Yehuda agrees that by barley, sheshnei malu. Kitnius v'pruta, kitnius are for pruta, the kitnius for dinner. And kitnius could be bought for a dinner. What does this mean? Hechidami. Exactly what is the Brisa saying? Iba Asra de Zavni Bishuma, if it's a place, again, where the Shliach was told to buy beans on behalf of the Mishaleach, and he didn't buy the amount of beans that he was told, so if it's a place, or he bought the amount, but he got it at a better price, so if it's a place where they don't sell it exactly by weight, so Gavi Kitni Yisnami, the Yav Sel Mezal Tvei. So, why does Yehuda agree by beans to the opinion of Tanakama? Can't he make an argument that if you would have spent more, you would have gotten even a better bargain, and therefore it should be considered that you didn't follow my instructions? Rapapa. Rather, Rapapa says, what's the difference between kitnius and a shirt? Beduchtanim zavna bekani, kana kana pruta. Where the beans are sold for an exact price for weight. The awesome psika masayu. That there, whether you buy a lot, whether you don't buy a lot, the price is all the same. In such a situation, we could very well understand the Mishnah. Because in such a situation, where the kitnius are sold for the same where the kitty is sold, whether you buy or lot or little, will Rabbi Yehuda agree with the Tanna Kamma that if this person got the amount of kidneys that the Mishaleach wanted, then he's not considered that he did Me'ila, that because the Mishaleach got what he wanted. And he would have gotten more of a bargain if the Shliach would have bought more. Only in the case of Al Mishnah, where he's getting a coat and he's buying a shirt and he's getting them in a good deal, there he can make an argument, you should have spent all the money I gave you, and like that you could have gotten even a better deal. We begin the last Mishnah of the Masechta. Says the Mishnah, Mafkit Mos Eitzel Shulchani. If somebody leaves money with a money changer, Imtzurin, if the money's tied up in a bundle, Lo Yistam Yistam. Shulchani may not use that money, because he should be assuming that the owner, the person who left the money with him, does not want him to use the money. Lefikach, and if he does use that money, em haitzi mal. If he uses the money, it's considered that he did the mila, the shulchani. Im mutarim, but if the money was left open, yishtamish behen, he could use the money. Lefikach em haitzi, and therefore if he uses the money, it was assumed that the owner is allowing him to use the money, and he's not considered Mila. The Miri says that this is only in a situation where it was regular coins, but if it was special gold coins or not your typical coins, then under all circumstances we could assume that he was not allowing him to use it. Furthermore, when we say here that if they were tsrurim, then he's not allowed to use it. There's a machloikis in Masechta Bava Metzia. What is the definition of tsrurim? One amira holds, if they're just tied up, that's already considered a situation that he's not allowing him to use it. Another pshat is that it's only if it's money that is tied up and not in your typical way that it's sealed, that serves as an indication that he doesn't want you to use that money. Another point that I saw that the Mefarshim make is that the Mefarshim say that the same halacha the Pais can say would be by a Sefer Torah. That if you left a Sefer Torah by a Talmud Chacham, so if the Talmud Chacham, so if it's obvious that the person that left the Sefer Torah with you doesn't want you to use it, you may not use it. If it's not obvious, he knows you're a Talmud Chacham and you're a person that's going to want to look in a Sefer, and then the halacha is that you're allowed to use the money. One more interesting point that I saw, a tshuva from Ramosha. Ramosha, in the Ramosha, says that this halacha doesn't apply to Zman Hazeh. Because Ramosha, in the Ramosha, says that only in those times when they, where the person who's leaving the money with the shulchani has a reason to want that the shulchani should take to use the money, because then he becomes gets a much higher level of responsibility. That's when the halacha is that the shliach, that he's allowed to use the money. But nowadays, if somebody leaves money with someone else, so the person that he leaves the money with always has the option of just putting the money in the bank, that's what he should do and should not be allowed to use the money. If money, says the Mishnah, was left by a balabayis, benkach and benkach, under all circumstances, lo yishtamish behem, he's not allowed to use the money, because the person who left the money with him has no reason to assume that he's going to use that money, and therefore here halacha is lefikach, if he used the money and haitzi, if he used the money mal, he's the one that did mi'ila. Hachanvani, what about a storekeeper? Kabal bayis divrei Rameya, because according to Rameya, a chenvani also constantly needs money. And since he constantly needs money, the person who leaves money with him, we could assume is using that money. Rabbi Yehuda is not using, on the contrary, a chenvani is not a money changer. And therefore, since he's not a money changer, he doesn't have this special rule. Since he too needs money constantly, when a balabayis leaves unsealed money with him, he should assume that the shulchani will use it. Says the Mishnah, if a pruta of hegdish falls into his pocket, oish am a pruta bekisa hegdish, or he says a pruta in this wallet should be hegdish, kivin shahoytzis v'shayna, as soon as he takes out the first pruta mol, it's considered that he did mila. And this is machlok diver Rabbi Kiva. This is the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. And the machlok is Rishonim how to understand Rabbi Kiva's opinion. Many Rishonim explain that Rabbi Kiva doesn't mean to say that he certainly was over Me'ila. Rather, what Rabbi Kiva means to say is there's a suffix if he was over Me'ila. What is the suffix? The suffix is because maybe this pruta that he took is the Hegdish. And Rabbi Kiva's opinion, as we learned in the Masechta Krisis, is that by Safek Me'ila, you bring an Oshem Tovah. That is the way most Rishonim learn. Other Rishonim say that Rabbi Kiva is not speaking here to a situation of Safek Me'ila. Rabbi Kiva rather means that it's Vadai Me'ila, that it's certainly considered that he violated Me'ila, because Rabbi Kiva holds a Breira, and we say that Breira tells us that this Pruta is Me'ila. So Tysus asked the question that there's obviously many prutas here. So why don't we say that the pruta, which is Hegdish, should become bottle in the rive of the other prutas, which are not Hegdish? So Tysus says, we can't say that something which is Hegdish doesn't become bottle because it's a Davish Yeshla material, because it can be redeemed and it won't be Hegdish. Kutaisa says that entire concept of Dovish Yeshloi Matirin is only a Drabonon, and here we're speaking about Mila Daraisa. It's interesting to point out that Tosfos clearly considers this a situation of a Dovish Yeshloi Matirin. The only point that Tosfos is making is that Dovish Yeshloi Matirin doesn't make a difference by Daraisa. There are Rishonim, however, who disagree with Tosfos. And those Rishonim are of the opinion that if it was never separate, there was always a Tarubis. There we don't have the concept of a Dovish Yeshloi Matirin. So Tosfos says two Terutz. One Terutz, Tosfos says, is that our assumption was incorrect. We assumed that there were many coins here, and the question was, is this coin should be bottled amongst the other coins? Says Tosfos, who says there were many coins? There was only one coin. And since there was only one coin, that we don't have a situation of Bittul Beroiv. That's one teretz that Tosfos gives. Another teretz that Tosfos gives is that here we're speaking about a matbeya. We're speaking about a coin, and a matbeya doesn't become bottle. A very big chiddush, that a coin is considered something which is chashiv and doesn't become bottle even midaraisa. And it's interesting, there's a tshuva for Shlomo Zalman Orbach in the Michah Shlomo based on this Tosfos. The question that was posed to Shlomo Zalman was as follows. Let's say you have a supermarket in Eretz Yisrael that sells Shemitah produce. It also sells other products that have nothing to do with Shemitah, milk and groceries, whatever. And somebody comes to that store to buy. We know the halacha of Shlomo Zalman Orbach says is that Shvius is Teufis Domov. What does that mean? That if you give money to buy a Shemitah product, that money gets Kedusha Shemitah. So he asks as follows. Let's say I come to that store to buy a grocery, no Shemitah issue on that product that I'm buying. And now, the question is, do I have to give the exact amount of money that I have to pay for whatever I'm buying? Or could I get change? Because maybe I should be concerned, if Shlomo Zalman says, that the money has in it that the storekeeper is going to give me as change has in it Kedusha Shvius. And he says that even if we'll say that the storekeeper has other money, he doesn't only say sell, as we said, produce. Tosfos just taught us, says Shlomo Zalman, that matbeya loy bottle, that money never becomes bottle. So what's the halacha? So Shlomo Zalman says that it's not the same. One of the points that Shlomo Zalman makes is a very interesting point. He says only in the times of Chazal does Tosfos say that money doesn't become bottle. Because in the times of Chazal,
money had in it inherent value. You got a coin, the coin was equal in value to that amount of metal. Now money isn't worth the money that it's printed on. A $100 bill is now worth $100. The paper is now worth $100. And therefore money now is different than it was in time Chazal. Rishlam Zalman also suggests that this rule that Taisha says that money doesn't become bottle could be maybe only by Hegdish, not by, because it's inherently Hegdish, not in other situations. But says the Mishnah, he's not over Mi'ila until he spent all the money. Of course, the Rishonim point out that even the Rabbanan agree that L'chatchila, a person should separate the Hegdish money and not use and not rely on this Heter. But, says the Mishnah, if somebody says one prut of this kes should be Hegdish, he could spend all the money and not be concerned with Mi'ila. That's Yossi's called kiss until he gets to the last coin. And immediately asked the Gemara, Kasar of Dimi Amma, Ramalei Rish Lakish Rab Yochan, Maishna Reisha, Maishna Sefer. How do we understand Rabbi Kiva's opinion? Why in the Reisha does he take such a strict opinion, and in the Sefer does he take such a lenient opinion? And as the Rishonim point out, the same question can be posed on the Rabbanim, just not as strongly. Why in the Reisha the Rabbanim agree to L'chatchili you shouldn't do that, and the Sefer, do they say the L'chatchila you could spend the money until the last coin? Answers the Gemara, Sefer, the way to understand the case of the Sefer, it's referring to a situation Ba'omer, where he specifically said La Yifta Kisem in a Hegdish, that he specifically said that only the last coin should become Hegdish. If he said that only the last coin should be Hegdish, obviously all the coins until then are not Hegdish. He asked Rav Namar, when Rav came, he said, Kis Nashvar Ramilei. And as the Mefarshim point out, we're going to have three questions in our Gemara, all on the opinion of Rav Kiva and our Mishnah, and all with the same teretz. So some Mefarshim explained that they knew Reish Lakish asked the question of Rav Yochanan, but they weren't quite sure exactly how the question was posed. That's one pshat that I saw. Another pshat is that all three of these questions were posed, and the answer was given, the same answer was given to all three of these questions. The Tanan, because we learned in the Mishnah Masechta Menachos, Haimer Echem Mishvari Hegdish. If somebody has a number of acts, and he said one of them should be Hegdish, and Haile Shnayim, and he had two, so how do we know which one is the Hegdish? Hagol Shvan Hegdish. We say that the larger one is Hegdish. Because we say, HaMagdish Ben Yofu Magdish. Somebody who's Magdish is Magdish generously. But if... So in our Mishnah as well, why do we say that it's the last Pruta that's Hegdish? Here too in our Mishnah, we're dealing with a person that's being Magdish. And as we said a few moments ago, when we speak about Hegdish we look at the money as the most valuable Hegdish. So why do we just say it's the last Pruta that's Hegdish? Amalek, to which the response was given, Sefer B'Omer Yiftekes Seven Hegdish. We expressly said that only the last Pruta should be Hegdish. The Papa has a different version of the question. Kisna Lugan Ramalei. His question was regarding the case that we've learned many times about Lugan, the Tanya. The halacha is halokeich yayim ben akuta. If somebody buys wine from a kuti, and the way the Rishonim explained the question, the case is as follows. On Shabbos we know that one is not allowed to be mafresh trumas amaisris. One can't be mafresh trumas amaisris on Shabbos because that's called tikkun. He's making the food edible. Here we're not even speaking on Shabbos because most Rishonim explain that the advice that this Braisa gives us, this method that the Braisa gives us, will not be acceptable on Shabbos. We're speaking here about Bein HaShmoshes. Where Bein HaShmoshes, the halacha is also the one can't take off Trumas and Maisers, but it's not as strict as Shabbos, and therefore this Braisa gives us a method of what to do. So he has this Kuti wine, and the Rishonim here too speak at great length. When you speak about the Kuti wine, So why is there no problem of Stam Yena? So must be that, the Rishonim explained, that this price refers to a time before Chazal made the Gzeiro Stam Yena, or this price is of the opinion that the Kutim are Geri Emes, so we need not be concerned about Stam Yena, but they were not careful about Trumas and Maestris. So you have this wine, it's Friday afternoon, Ben Hashmashes, you need this wine for Shabbos, and you can't take off Trumas and Maestris. What are you to do? So we start with 100 gallons, and Omer, Shnei Lugin Shani Yosel Lahafresh, two Lugin of this 100 Lugin should be Truma. Because we know that the typical amount that's taken off a Truma is a 50th. As Sarah Maiserishin, it's not really 10, it's 9.8. Because you start with 100 Lugin, you take off two from Truma, so you're down to 98. 10% of 98 for Maiserishin is really 9.8. And Tisha, Maiser Sheni. And now you have 90, so 10% of 90 is 9. 9 lugin should be Maiser Sheni or Meichel. Here too we have a Rishbachlex, what Meichel means. One Pshar Meichel is that the Maiser Sheni, the Loch is, one can redeem Maiser Sheni by just exchanging it for, one could do Maiser Sheni by exchanging it for Pruta. So even though for all the other Trumas and Maisers you have no choice what to do, you have to wait for Matzah Shabbos when you'll do the actual physical separation. Maaser Sheni, you could do this. Others say that even that may not be done on Shabbos. Or Meichel means that you could now begin to drink. Meichel v'shoyes miyad, you could begin to drink. Divrei Meir. Yehuda Rav Yosef Shimon Oisrim. They say that we can't rely on this. Why can't we rely on this? Because this really relates to retroactive designation that you're going to drink. And on Matzah Shabbos, you'll separate the two for Truma and the one for Maaser Rishon, and for Maaser Rishon and Maaser Sheni. But you can't rely on that. So ask the Gemara, why in our Mishnah, when you have the wallet, could you say that the last Pruta is to be considered the Hegdish? Just like here, we can't say that the last wine that's left over is the Truma and Maaser Rishon. We shouldn't be able to say so in our Mishnah either. Amalei, to which Rabbi Yochanan responded, say for the Masnissen, the case of our Mishnah is where he said explicitly, Lo Yipata Kiseh Min HaHegdish. He meant that the last Pruta should be Hegdish. So since he expressly meant that the last Pruta should be Hegdish, therefore the halacha is that indeed that is what he said, and therefore only that Pruta is Hegdish, and you have none of these other concerns. Harim lach shliv shasa shluchus of a slik of a sakta mila. Harim lach shliv shasa shluchus of a slik of a sakta mila. Harim lach shliv shasa shluchus of a slik of a sakta mila.